Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
ACAST helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. ACAST.com.
Are there any bodies around here?
I'm usually not that reckless.
Jack, what the hell?
George the Key loved raspberries.
You know what? I am actually a little relieved that there's no sewer.
We never scaled the walls, mind you, but...
Murray does a spit take.
Can you hold my hair red?
I read a great book about a key once.
What don't you understand?
That's disgusting. How dare you?
How did we miss that?
And then when that doesn't work, hit him with a rock.
We've got to go.
Just give him a second.
Hey, good job, Alistair.
Thanks, Red. I try my best here to be part of the group.
Yeah, let's all remember that. Next time Alistair needs to grow big... just push Mari off something. All right. Darren.
What?
So
I love the idea, like, later on, we're like, we need Alistair to get big. And Rich, like, pushes Mari. But it works. She's like, ah.
But he's not there, so she just falls to her death.
He's not there. It's like, sorry, I was in the bathroom.
I got you.
What happened? Mari's just on the ground. Oh.
That's good.
Welcome back to Dice Shame. This is Season 2, Episode 79, The Best Laid Schemes.
MVP this week is Comedy Fan 1095, who's just caught up to the current episode and has joined our Discord to hang out with us. They say that Dice Shame's probably one of the best experiences they've ever had listening to a D&D podcast, and that they can't wait to start listening alongside everyone else. That's so nice.
So nice. Thank you so much for being with us.
You are this week's MVP.
And well deserved.
All right, should we play some D&D?
Yeah, let's do it.
Woo!
I'm a part.
Being contrarian. Fuck
you. I remember you saying that once... you guys were at like a restaurant, like a like fast food, and he like ripped a fart and then was like,
and the look on his face is like this.
Oh, no.
Super surprised. And he's like, I have to go to the bathroom. And then he came back from the bathroom. He's like, they were unsavable. He's like, I had to throw them out.
Who is this is guy?
Is he a like baby? What is this?
No, this is my best friend.
Oh, no.
My best friend from childhood.
You know how Alex gets all of his dwarf vibes? They all come from his childhood. Dwarves do this, right?
Oh, yeah, childhood. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
He was also a drunk child.
Setting my mood.
I wouldn't mind a scene right at the moment we left, because I think I need to apologize for Doran for blowing him up.
Oh, fuck.
At least a little bit.
I mean, we'd be retreading old ground. I think we already... I think it ended with Red running away.
Yeah, sure.
Unless that doesn't work for you, in which we could just ad lib it.
There's always meat on that bone.
Rewind? You want to rewind it?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Well.
Okay.
And play. The five of you are standing around corpses.
Again.
As usual. You just...
As usual.
Slain these dwarves, these men at arms that Gautier Brighthelm had sent to ensure that you had died in a rock slide. And they nearly bested you.
Oh, God. Doran, are you okay? I don't know what the hell I was thinking.
Oh, boy.
That's more reckless than I usually am. You still got most of your beard?
Yeah. Doran's like tugging at his face, his facial hair. He's like, yeah, it's all there.
Sorry, no, that was stupid. I'm usually not that reckless. I just...
Really? You're not. Jack, what the hell?
Sorry, I was worried, and I only had this knife, and my magic wasn't working, and I wasn't sure what was going to do, and then that guy was full of explosives, and I just...
Big bada boom.
That's the... Yeah.
Red walks over. He's on the far side of, like, the crevasse, and you two, he just kind of hears them pittering away and walks over to the edge of the drop and, like, kind of spits over and calls over, are you guys all right?
Oh, yeah, we're okay over here. Are you guys okay over there?
I think so. Mari?
You're yelling to us, not the people down there.
They're not okay.
Yeah, sorry. And Jack walks over and kind of looks down to see if he can see any sign of them.
How are you guys going to get over here?
Yeah, Mari sort of pokes her head over the edge, and she realizes just how deep it is down there, and then just sort of like pulls back and like shudders. She's just like, no.
It extends past the periphery of your dark vision, so you can't see the bottom.
No, thank you.
Oh, yeah, how are we going to get across there? It's kind of a wide, just like 20 feet across.
Well, I mean, there's like a bridge just over here.
No time. Alistair, you better go big again and lie across it so we can climb on your back. And I haven't been thinking about this for the last few seconds. I promise, it just came to my head.
Murray's already walking to the bridge.
She's like there already.
Alistair, there's no time.
I don't know if I can make it happen again.
What do you mean you don't know if you can What do you mean?
Let me just try really hard.
Hold on, that happened by accident?
Yeah.
It was Mari that didn't, was it? Did it? Wasn't it?
No.
Who made him big? He did?
He did.
Mari didn't do anything.
Just happens sometimes.
Who made him big?
He got excited and suddenly...
Alistair, you made yourself big. You don't know how it happened? Okay, well, don't shit yourself. Look, fine, I can take the bridge.
That's unsavable.
And then, yeah, so Alistair moves along with Mari and Red.
Yeah, I feel like I kind of like put a hand on Alistair's back, and I'm kind of like, you don't know how you grew big, and you're not worried about that?
Wait, you don't know how you did that?
I don't know. There's a lot of like mysterious stuff about this body that I'm just kind of figuring out, I think.
Clearly.
Yeah, but like, you know, if you can't do it again, do we have to worry about you doing it by accident? Like... Sometimes we're in some pretty tight places. And also, not to be rude about it, but you being giant would have really helped when we were stuck in that rock fall, you know? Like, moving boulders and stuff, or just sticking an arm in and making it big. So, maybe we can work on trying to get you under control after.
It seems situational.
Yeah, I think there's some kind of, like trigger that we need to figure out together.
Yeah, together.
Did his clothes expand with him, or is he just like standing there in like tattered
he's hulking it
now?
Unsavable.
Yeah, is he,
like, is he Doran's just, like my tunic.
Yeah, I mean, coming into Scarborough, Alistair was wearing a cast off of Doran's clothes. That's and I right. feel like Gautier probably put out some like less bloody things.
Doran's like, you stretched the maws of shit.
Say what you will about Gautier, but his hospitality.
That's right.
right. Yeah. He might be a fuckwit, but he takes care of you.
He throws a great dinner party. I can't fault him.
And the amazing properties of leather, you know, the ability to kind of go back to its
original
form.
Stretch to twice its size.
Red's like kind of like thinking deeply as he's walking along, like, grew big. And he turns to Mari and he kind of whispers. He's like, I think he grew big when he was like worried about us, you know?
Yeah, when everything really started to go down, that's when he kind of freaked out and just, I guess, got huge, which is, I don't know, pretty interesting. I don't know if we can find a way to get him to do it again without throwing him into danger.
Do you think if we're doing really well, he'll go small?
Just love him. And
I'm having
him.
A great time. Everything's so good now, Alistair.
Mari does a spit take, but she hasn't been drinking anything. She's just permanently wet. So,
ew.
Oh God, Mari. Spit was so viscous.
Ew.
It's like a pocket-sized Alistair.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Friend. Like,
yeah.
But you know what? Let's not put the idea of him getting small in his head, because he seems like the kind of guy that, like, once he's thinking about it, he can't do it. You know, like, that was an impulse. You know, we've been traveling with him like this for at least a few days.
I can't believe that Gautier is actually behind all this. Like, this is crazy to me to think that. Well, I knew he was a bit of a slime ball, but to his own family, like, what the hell? We've got to go, and we've got to get moving. I mean,
how are we going to get into town?
Yeah, we're pretty obvious, the most of us.
Not a dwarf, very singed.
Red's just still staring at Alistair, like, with his hands, like, you know, kind of like shrinking him in his mind. Like, he's standing like 5 feet back and kind of like closing his fingers together. Be like, shrinking Alistair could be. But you know, you made a great point accidentally there, Doran, as well. This group came to retrieve our bodies, presumably, or finish up. They're probably going to be due back in a little bit, too. So we have that clock. Are there any bodies around here?
In any case, we're definitely under haste.
Red walks over to the two fallen soldiers and starts looting their bodies. Maybe they got something here to tell us where they were meant to take our bodies.
From within the pockets of these dwarven soldiers' clothes, you find a couple of items. Altogether, you find 45 gold pieces and 8 silver pieces. You find a silver key that has kind of a diamond shape on the handle of it. Is that called a handle of a key? Has kind of a diamond shape on the handle.
It's called the bow of a key, for whatever reason.
And that's it.
Red picks up the key, kind of shows the others.
What'd you find over there?
A key with a diamond hilt, you know, the top of it, whatever it is.
It's called a bow, did you know?
Yeah, I figured, but the normal audience wouldn't care or know, so I figured just describing it as such
just
would be
handle.
Enough. look, if we're going to head into the city, which we have to do to save your mother, I don't think we can just walk in the front door.
No.
We got to sneak in.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't
Maybe
know.
Maybe we should, like, walk and talk.
No, absolutely.
We shouldn't stick around here.
It's this way.
Can you do two things at once?
I think I have the ability in my new dark dwarf body to do both.
Wow, he's gotten so confident.
Walk and talk. Oh,
yes.
Wow. He can grow. He could walk and talk.
Everyone roll performance check to walk and talk.
Shit.
I don't have any performance.
Concentration check.
No.
Athletics.
No shit.
Ah, right.
20.
Oh, nice.
Jack, you do listen, great.
Look at the way Jack swaggers.
He's jogging and doing a TED talk at the same
you
time.
You orate.
It was touch and go. I read a great book about a key once, though, and it really got into the...
Jesus Christ.
Oh, sorry, the
a
city.
A book about a key? What the fuck? I just smash cut to Jack at a library being like, well, this book's about a key.
Ooh.
Not just any key, but one key.
20 famous keys of the Sword Coast.
Not the history of keys. No. You said one key. You said a book about a key.
Well, so listen, like, I
one key to open them all.
I'll come up with
George the Key loved raspberries.
In the beginning.
That's a terrible book.
I know. That's my joke is that it's a terrible book. That's the whole point.
Yes.
Created 11 keys for man.
Cool.
All right, let's go. Agreed, Alistair.
I didn't say it was a good book.
It's this way. Jesus. Listen, I don't know
I don't know how we're going to do this. I grew up in the city. There's no secret passages, nothing of that sort. It's not as exciting as Waterdeep. They don't have a big underground, the shit is pushed out of the city through troughs. I mean, there's no
sewer.
There's graded sewer drains.
You know what? I am actually a little relieved that there's no sewer in some respects.
Yeah, I don't blame you, Jack. I mean, or you, Maria. Shit.
Shit.
That was the night we met you.
Oh, God, it was.
As you walk and plot your way of ingress, you recall the look of Scarborough from the height at which you first observed it. It's this massive town that's ringed by a huge stone wall. There are several gates around its perimeter. As well, there is a slow-moving river that goes through these gates into and through the city. There are stalactites and stalagmites that traverse the cavern from top to bottom. Some of them are occupied as buildings. Some of them, their use is unknown to you.
What time of day is it, Jack? I get all turned around down here.
Oh, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe just after tea time.
Hmm.
All right, and Dorne, what about the river? Is it just a shit river? I'm guessing it's just a shit river.
There's shit that's in it, but that's not the only reason why we should avoid going that way, and I'll tell you why. Number one...
The pee?
Hmm?
Can I just pause you there for a second? Do the dwarves of Scarborough just, like, sluice their excrement directly into this river?
It's not, not generally speaking, no. But in, like, in any major town, city, it's going to be polluted. Shit does get in the river. It's not exactly cleanest.
You drink from it on one side of town and you pour everything else into the
other. The fishing and drinking is on one side.
Exactly.
On the north side where the water comes in, that's where all the fishing and drinking and water comes from. And on the south side, you definitely want to avoid that. But I'll tell you one thing all around. Number one, there are large eels in the water, and they're pretty deadly. Oh. Did you guys try any of that white eel soup? Yeah, those are the eels.
Yeah, pasta. Yeah. The dwarven spaghetti.
That's right.
They're deadly. How? Like poisonous or electric or just feisty?
Jack stops walking and like looks at his tummy, and he's like, I ate so many of them.
Well, just as deadly as any other, fierce underwater creature.
Not again.
They bite, okay? They bite. I had a friend that got his weenie, all right?
Oh, shit.
How was he trying to eat? I have questions.
We were young and we were skinny dipping. But that's beside the
point. Are you sure he wasn't trying to catch it like the way you catch a catfish in Maztica? You know, you just dangle your wiener out.
Listen, the other reason why is because they thought about this when they built the city. And I know because me and my friends would try to swim under when we were younger. And the gate that goes down beneath the water just goes and goes and goes. There's no bottom to that gate.
So if we can't go under, can we go over?
We can't go under it. We can't go around it. We gotta go through. No, we should go.
We can't go under it. We can't go through it. We've got to go over it. And that's where I'm looking at you, Red.
Yeah, and I feel like we're like, a couple hundred feet out, like, or a football field, maybe two, kind of crouched by some stones overlooking.
I'm imagining this as
Mordor.
Yes, as Sam, Frodo, and Gollum watching the Black Gate to Mordor.
Yeah, and we're like kind of looking at the walls.
Mm-hmm.
You know what would be cool? And this is just sort of meta now. Meta, whatever. If one of our audience, if any of our artistic audience members were to draw this, I think it would be a spectacular picturing one of those D&D book pictures, you know?
Anyways. Gauntlet dropped by Alex.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I mean, we could definitely scale those walls, use some pitons, and I could secure a rope, and we could all scale it, but we'd have to find a place along that wall that is at least guaranteed to be without any sort of patrol or eyes for at least, I'd say, 20 minutes to get us up and over and down.
Now that I can help with, and this is, I think, where our minds are coming together here, because on the north side, near that fishing, if we go down a little bit further, there's a spot where, for whatever reason,
feel free to give me an idea of why this reason exists. For whatever what? Reason, it's sort of...
You can't get this far into a pitch and not have an out.
Well, I'm improvising here, guys.
Insert pitch here.
You know what? But for whatever reason, feels very real world city to me. It's just like, yeah, there's a dumb thing here. Nobody really remembers why.
I don't know why, but whenever my friends and I were causing mischief, that would be the area we'd go to not be spotted by any guard patrol, to not be worried about... We never scaled the walls, mind you, but, I mean, hell.
Cowards.
That's going to be the... Mari.
Was that you or Alex?
Either. Whichever one you're feeling.
It's going to be an Alex comment. Yeah. I don't think Mari would say that.
No.
All right. What else we got?
Plans.
Mari, what you got?
And she sort of looks at the wall. It's tall. She's like, well, I mean, if you want a scout, I can try to sneak ahead in some sort of other form. I don't know what kind of wildlife is down here. I'm a little concerned that I can't really turn into a bird because I don't see a lot of them, and I feel like that would just get a rock thrown at
you
me.
You could do a bat. That's like birds of the underground.
Yeah.
You could do a bat. There's lots of bats.
Spiders? Things like that?
Lots of spiders.
Spiders?
Lots of centipedes. We've got flies.
Oh, God.
All right, well, look, if we head to the north where Doran thinks there's less patrols, and then, Mari, if you turn into a wild shape and scout and kind of see along the wall which area seems to be the least patrolled, then I could climb up, do my little rope thing, and there's kind of like an awkward moment where Mari, Red, and Doran all kind of look towards Jack, and there's like this kind of like feeling of his lack of magic. It's kind of like really, you can taste it almost hanging in the air, and Red's like, and Jack, you know, without knowing what time it was, we wouldn't be able to work this way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he can climb the rope. You can climb the rope, right?
Oh,
we'll all have to climb the rope.
You can climb a rope, right?
The best at climbing the rope. And Jack runs his hand through his singed hair and just...
You know, another idea, Mari, just out of curiosity, now that I started to think about it, now I don't really know. Can you turn into water? Could you float through and go through those gates underwater?
First of all, that's a harmful stereotype about water genasis, and I do not like it being perpetuated.
Look, shit, sorry.
The last thing I want to do is offend somebody with my prejudices, okay?
Just because you saw that play called The Abyss, it doesn't mean that we all just become water blobs.
The Shape of Water.
In our very different movie. In our fairness, you are called a water genasi. Like, it's in your name.
It's true, and I it's one of those things, it's a massive failing of me, the fact that I can't just become the water. Believe me, teenage me had dreams.
All right, so Mari, you bat form ahead. We're going to swing wide to the right because we got to keep a wide berth from the city walls, Doran. It's going to take us a little time to get over there, but in the meantime, spot out the perfect place that we can climb up.
I like to imagine that Mari's standing there and everyone's sort of like watching her, waiting to change, and she's like, can I have a little bit of privacy, please?
Oh, sorry, sure.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
I want to watch a change. Wait, not like that.
Like change into a...
Cover your eyes, Alistair.
Creep. There's this moment where she looks totally normal, and you can just sort of see this light start to emanate from within her, and then there's just this incredibly quick flash and a little noise like the wind being sucked inwards as she becomes really small. And suddenly there's just this little brown bat on the ground with one little like blue streak just down its back.
Nice.
It realizes that it's trying to like fly from the ground and struggling. It's really sad. And then it eventually kind of hauls itself up on a rock and is able to start flapping its wings and trying to fly off silently into the night. This is not a form that she's used to.
I watched all that. There's a reflection in that shiny rock.
And I feel like Red, Alistair, Jack, and Doran all start kind of moving wide to the right to get to the north.
Excellent.
We got to go up that way.
Mari, as you wing up and over the city, you are afforded a wonderful view of the walls that you are trying to scale. Along most of the wall, it is being patrolled fairly rigorously by these dwarven soldiers. They're all in these, like, matching armor. But indeed, as Doran mentioned, there is a lesser patrolled area towards one side of the city. Some of these stone braziers are actually dark in this area.
How much space is there for there to be, like, no guards? Is it sort of like 10 meters, 20 meters?
How close do you fly down over the wall?
She flies quite close. She sort of gets 10 feet above any sort of dwarven heads, but she sort of swoops around pretending like she's looking for bugs, but also...
How much are you committing to this bit? Are you eating bugs?
Yeah, she's eating bugs. She's snacky. It's been a while. It's been a weird day and she's hungry. And good. She's a bat now.
Wait, so you eat things and, like, drink things as the thing that you change into?
Of course.
But, like, without hesitancy? Like, isn't it you're still your brain there?
Yeah, but if you're snacky and you're already a bat, might as well.
It's like in Animorphs where, like, the longer you stay in the body of the animal that you're morphed into, you sort of start to become possessed by, like, the instincts of that animal.
I love an Animorphs reference.
In her case, it takes 45 seconds.
Yeah. She's yeah, like,
but,
mm,
but then, so like, then when Mari came out, she'd be cool with, like, eating bugs too, right? She'd be like, well, I eat them when I'm a bat.
No, that's disgusting. How dare you?
No.
I don't understand. I'm so confused.
Well, when you learned a wild shape.
Well, she's mostly just kind of trying to, like, take the appearance of how a bat would be acting, like, sort of swooping around.
Yeah, right. You're just hungry.
You just want to eat a moth.
You just want to eat it.
I imagine that if I was in a bat form, I would be like, I wonder what this tastes like. Does it taste better?
Well, I guess what I like about it is it implies that the wild shape has a slight influence over you.
Yeah.
like, it's not just you turning into a bat. It's like every animal you turn into kind of starts twisting its arm on Mari. Like a bear. I want to try a salmon.
I'm sure some insects are delicious. 100%. Maybe you just have to be a bat to find out.
Yeah, that's the thing. I like to imagine the palate changes.
There's a lot of that nature nurture stuff too, right? Because if you are a bat by nature, now that there's, you know, now you get to try out some of that biology.
Yeah.
Bat by nature.
Yes.
Mari, you realize by swooping down low over the wall that the reason that this area seems to be fairly ill-guarded is not because of a deficit of soldiers, but because of inattention. There is a guard here at this weak point in the wall, but he's slumped down with his back to the outside. So he's got, like, his back against the wall and he's facing into the city and he's got his nose buried in a book.
Can I see what he's reading?
You can, but it's all gobbledygook to your bat eyes.
Damn
yeah,
it.
You can't.
There is a picture of a key on the cover, though. So you're...
Aren't bats blind?
No.
I thought they navigate through echolocation.
Well, they're not because it's dark. They don't have... It's dark, so they have to cheep.
So they could see the writing of a page? My whole understanding of bats but is
Mari
wildly
is a bat.
Changed right
is
now.
Yeah. Illiterate.
An illiterate bat.
She's that's right. Mouthful of bugs, brain just unable to read.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't speak dwarven, I don't think.
Also
so.
That, no. So even if it was her, she'd be like, I don't know what this says. This is gibberish.
But yeah, so there's a guard here at the place where Doran told you all to meet, but he is not paying attention. He's shirking his guardly duties, as it were.
Is he like a young guy, an old guy?
He's a middle-aged dude. All right. He's actually got a stack of books beside him. Seems like he's chewing his way through.
I like this guy. He seems chill.
Yeah, he's unbothered.
You sure it's not the book, The Darkest Magic from the Deepest Depths?
There might be a copy in there. It could be.
They're all dog-eared. Like, he's been reading these over and over again. It's so many romance novels.
Yeah, unbothered by stories of dragon cultists or sounds from the deep. He's just... he's gonna be the one who's responsible for the burning of the city in 2 years from now, you know?
Excellent. And she takes that all in and then, you know, chomps up another moth and then flies on down to the second spot that Doran had mentioned.
Yeah, this second unguarded area is also not unguarded. There's actually a small crew of dwarves here. There are three, like, workmen type dudes. They're in heavy overalls, and they're scrubbing a bunch of dwarven graffiti off the walls.
No. Scoundrel children.
Unfortunately, you can't read dwarven, or else I would tell you all the lewd things that the graffiti
says. It says, tasteful stew.
How dare you? I can't have that. Yeah, so again, no like attentive guards necessarily, but there are some blue-collar types here taking care of cleaning the walls.
Right. On the outside or the inside?
Both. One on the outside, two on the inside.
All right. They're scrubbing straight through the wall.
They are doing an excellent job.
Mm-hmm. She snaps up more bugs and then flies back over to the guys.
I can't wait for Mari to be back in Genasi form and like eating mosquitoes. Me like
she's picking flies out of her teeth.
Mari, you have fly wings all in your teeth.
What is it? Dracula Dead and Loving It, yeah, where he has like a little grasshopper leg between his teeth?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. I can't believe what you're talking about.
Picking her teeth with it.
So by the time you circle back, Mari, the rest of the party is pretty much caught up to you.
Yeah, we're like covered behind a rock, and then this bat flies up, and I'm like, "I've got a bat! Get up!" Oh, sorry, Mari.
She's only got one hit points. If you hit her, she just turns back into. I love the idea though that you're like, "Dear God," and you just whack her really hard, yeah. And then all of a sudden, just a Genasi falls out of the sky.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Okay. Actually,
oh damn it! Sorry,
I'm more impressed that you hit the bat.
God,
good at dexterity.
Sorry, Mari.
That's not how I like turning back. That really hurt.
What'd you find out?
So tell us, what do your bat eyes see?
Oh, bats actually are blind.
They are not, and she's...
Nope, canonically they are.
Red's favorite enemy is not bats. Oh, I love the idea that as a ranger, you have a favorite enemy who you'd like know everything about. And
an unfavorite enemy? The opposite, where I know nothing about them. I love that. That's bats.
Animals.
But like I play it like I know a lot about them. Oh, I mean, bats obviously aren't blind. I meant because they're rats with wings, and rats aren't blind, that they wouldn't be. Rats.
We're all just kind of making faces at Red, like, yeah, okay.
And Red's like, do you hear something? This crickets? No, there was something over there. Sorry, back to you, Mari.
So anyways.
Mari's hearing is still like ping-ponging back into normal. It's like everything's a little too loud and echoey.
Oh,
so
that'd be kind of cool.
It's just kind of ricocheting in her head, and she's got...
Yeah, she's reacting because bats have terrible hearing. It's very muffled in there.
God, just picking bits of moth out of her teeth. What did I do with there? God.
Wait, so you don't remember what you did in Wild
No,
Fall?
I remember.
What is this?
It's like a blackout.
It's like a bender.
All these new rules now.
Being an animal is just like you being fucking super drunk. You're like eating all these animals. You don't know where you are. You don't remember. You're like, God, who did I sleep? Oh, did I sleep with a bat last night?
I think I threw up.
Am I eating moths?
Can you hold my hair, Red?
I do like the idea that wild shape is just party time. You just go feral, quite literally.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there is a guard over there. It's pretty quiet, but there is one guard. He's not paying attention, though. He's reading a lot of books. So we could probably either get the drop on him or take him out or sneak up or something. But we've got a fair amount of quiet space except for that one guy. And maybe we just send in Jack with a whole bunch of other books and he can distract him.
Oh, yeah.
We probably don't want to show our faces.
Mm.
Well, I don't want to give my books away.
Yeah, that too, sure. But
this is second edition.
Well,
what are we thinking? So, okay, you presented three options. Send in a distraction, take him out, or sneak by him.
Yeah. Is there any way you guys could put him to sleep? Or, you know, if he's not paying attention, if he's got his nose in a book.
I could cast silence on him.
We picked up 45 gold off of one of those dwarves earlier. How much do you think? We don't need them to be silent about us forever. We need them to be quiet about us for like an hour, right? How long is it going to take to get to your mom's house, Doran, once we're in
trying to bribe a dwarven guard? That's like that's pretty difficult.
Well, not only that, let's remember our first interaction with the guards. They did not let us into the city under any circumstances.
This guy is not the sharpest.
I love that Jack is judging a guy literally who's reading a book.
Have you ever been really engrossed in a good book and that's really all you want to do for the next, 6 to 8 hours? He doesn't want to bother with somebody climbing over the wall. That would just, like, if we're just saying, hey, ignore us, that's a dwarf Don't even worry about it. We're going over this wall.
You're making a lot of assumptions based on the fact that a man is reading a book. Look, I'm not saying you're wrong. We could absolutely go and bribe him. But I would say the smarter choice would either just try to be working around him, not even involving him at all, because we have Pass Without Trace and Silence. We have a pretty good way to keep his ears quiet. Or doing some non-lethal damage on this guy from afar. I can pick him off, knock him out, and tie him up behind a rock until we're done.
You'd rather hit him over the head than offer him some gold just to keep reading his book and ignore us?
What I'm saying is, one is guaranteed to work, one isn't guaranteed to work, and I don't think...
I feel like those could be a sequence of plans that happen.
You could... Yeah, you could just offer him the gold, and then if he says no, you could just hit him with a rock.
And truthfully, we could try and sneak first, and then when he finds us, offer him the gold, and then when that doesn't work, hit him with
a rock. Or I just hit him with a rock now, and we stop arguing about this, because I could ping this fucker from 600 meters away.
I could be a bat again and just go.
All right. Stop. We're not shooting any dwarves, okay?
No, we're not shooting. He's gonna hit him with a rock. Doran, pay attention.
Doesn't matter.
It's gonna be a lot easier if all of you guys can become bats.
We're not gonna attack a dwarf, all right?
I mean, we just killed like five of them, but okay. Weird line to draw in the sand, Doran.
They did attack us first.
They threatened us.
I'm not saying kill the guy.
Can I speak? I'm thinking that we go the route of, you know, cast your spells so we could pass silently, like you said.
Oh, my spells.
And if we get noticed, then maybe try and bribe him. Last case scenario, we knock him over the head with a rock and knock him out. But I think we should at least just try and sneak by him.
All right, fine by me. I mean, ultimately, the best case scenario is no one knows we're going in or out. Bribe or attack otherwise. If they don't know we slipped in, that's only going to be beneficial for us.
He's got his nose in a book. If we go in silently, he's not going to notice.
Well, how much space between the guy reading the book and climbing the wall was there, Maori? Like, was it right next to him or, like, you know, 100 feet down the wall or what?
I mean, you've got... And she's sort of counting in her head, trying to translate from bat to human size.
Bat math.
Yeah, she's like doing bat math. I have six squares.
Yeah, like 200 bats.
Yeah.
How many crickets is that?
That's so many. There's about 50 feet between him and the other sort of patrolling guards. So we got some space, but not a lot. So we're going to have to either take him out or be really, really stealthy because we don't have a lot of time.
I got one last pitch, and it's a bit of Jack's plan as well. What if I shoot him with an arrow?
Okay.
Until he's dead.
Wait, let me finish. Red's waiting to see if they'll approve that much. All right, fine. But I'll make it a beguiling arrow. It's basically just getting like a little bit of a tap, and it won't even knock him out. But what it will do is it will charm him. Then, if we just move him along the wall, we got 100 feet of freedom versus trying
to... Okay, so that's actually a great idea. What are the odds this guy will recognize Doran? And if he just comes around and looks all official, like, this guy's going to shape up and be like, oh shit, I was caught. Maybe I should start patrolling again. And you move on down the wall one way and we make
That's true. I mean, Doran was introduced at the guards.
Well, look, we can stand around debating what we're going to do. I think we should just... The sneaking thing that you cast on all of us. Whatever you do, Red, that thing that you do that makes us all silent. It's unbelievable. We'll just walk right up to the wall. You know, you climb up, attach a rope to the top. I would put money on it. The guy doesn't even lift his head.
Well, all right. If that's what you want to do, Doran. Ultimately, this is your mother's life on the line, but my Pass Without Trace is going to lose its effect when I'm at the top of the wall, which means if we all go up together, by the time I climb up that 20-odd 30 feet, you guys are going to be just exposed standing on a wall to a guard within 50 feet.
Well, I think we should just try and pass without a trace.
All right, let's do it.
Cool.
No, and contingency-wise...
Contingency-wise, you shoot him with one of your beguiling arrows.
I looked up the beguiling arrow. The beguiling arrow deals an extra 2d6 psychic damage on top of...
extra fuck you.
Fuck this guy up.
The effect, right? So it's... And Red deals pretty decent damage, so...
Yeah, but here's the thing. I wasn't telling them that.
I'm gonna lobotomize this dude.
Yeah, that's why Red waited. Meta. That's why Red waited like a good breath after shooting. He was like, I'm gonna shoot the guy... Full stop. and I'll charm him. There was a secret sentence change.
Doran could just walk up to this guard and be like, hey, you know, I'm trying to get into the city, but I've been told that they're, that I'm not allowed in, or that there's a rock plague or something, like alone, and maybe distract the guy while you guys...
Why do you keep saying plague weird?
Plague.
If, I mean, if anything, Doran could say, you know, I'm just feeling nostalgic. I used to sneak out to this spot when I was a kid and climb this part of the wall. I just want to see if I still got it.
Here, turn towards me.
That would
me
be
this
a convincing look.
I think we should just go for her. Most of these things, just how they find themselves, work themselves.
Why don't you use your disguise spell, Doran? Just look like one of the guards that we saw at the door. You have a tattoo with disguise on it. Remember, we got you a magic tattoo.
Well, hey, let's just do that then. Hey. Well, that's a great idea.
I also have enhance ability, which might help, which I can also help give advantage on charisma checks, like on
that
any...
That would help him lie.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Doran, all you have to do is get that guy to move down the wall. We can do the rest if he's out of sight.
Now we're thinking.
I'll just go up and say, your shift's over, and go return your book, you lazy guard.
Perfect. Remember how those guards looked at the front door?
Of course I do.
Just look like one of them.
He lifts up his sleeve and looks at the tattoo.
Yeah, that's right. I can... transform. I forgot about this. Man.
Roll out.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. Okay, excellent. Doran, you transform into the image of one of the guards that you saw yesterday.
There. How do I look? Do I look guardy-like?
You look very much like one of the guards from yesterday, yes.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I wonder what his name was.
Don't overthink it.
It was Mark.
Just avoid it.
Chris.
Damn you, Chris.
So, Doran, you're a dead ringer for that member of the guard that you saw yesterday, down to the cloak and the epaulettes and the fancy beret that they all wear.
So if I look the part, let's go for it.
Excellent. The minute you get his attention and start pulling him one way, me and the other two will start working along the other wall.
Yeah.
Unless you want a wild shape up there, Mari, obviously, you can just go up, but... figured you'd want to save your spells or something.
I think I'll save it. And just before Doran goes, she's like, and for luck. And she very gently sort of places her hand just like on his chest. And what all he can hear is the sound of like twinkling bird song and like joyous laughter and this warm feeling of her hand that spreads out across him. And that would
be
enhanceability.
Ooh.
Very nice.
Means that you now have advantage on charisma checks.
Bears in jury. Oh, no.
Now you're just a big bear. Go eat a salmon. Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as you do this, Doran like looks at you and he like, that felt really nice. He winks. And you're like, oh.
No, gross. Yeah.
All right. And I'll use my disguise self spell to look like Doran. And that way, when you polymorph Jack to look like me...
Well,
wait, what are we doing again? Go, Doran, go.
So, Doran, now that you look like this member of the guard from yesterday, what are you going to do?
Doran strolls up to the guard. You know, I kind of picture that. We've all been standing off kind of in the darkness, like 100 feet away.
I hope so. We're standing under a lamp?
No, just right next to him.
He does one of those like running walk things really quickly up to like the edge of the water and then like strolls up from where he might have been walking from the gate. He turns to the guard.
Hey, what do you got your nose in that book for? Don't you know?
You can't see him because he's sitting down.
Yeah,
you know
well, I
mean?
Like
he's back to the wall.
I walk right up to him. It's like
you can't.
What?
You can't get in.
Get a rock.
How are you getting inside?
Well, he's
inside
the wall.
Everyone's confused. What are you talking about, Joe?
I thought he was outside the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're all outside the wall.
I thought
so isn't
he was outside the wall.
Yeah.
The guard is like on the top.
He's on the wall.
Yes.
Oh,
shit.
Oh, that changes everything.
That changes everything.
We got to have this whole conversation.
He's got his back
20 minutes.
To the wall facing the city because he's on the top of the parapet.
Yeah.
I said that the guards are on the parapet.
Yep, I missed that detail.
Missed that, sorry.
I don't think anyone got that from that.
I mean, I think I knew that, but...
It makes perfect
then
sense.
Then how are we...
Oh, I was totally picturing them walking around outside the city.
What do you mean you knew that, Mari? Then what did you expect Doran to walk up to do?
I was like, go throw a rock. Go. I don't know, I was like...
No, well, if you knew that, what were you thinking Doran was going for?
I was imagining Doran walking like up on the outside of the wall and be like, hey.
I love the shot of like, you see Red smiling and nodding, and like it pans over to Jack smiling and nodding, and Mari's like smiling and nodding, and then he gets to the bottom of the wall, and then Mari's like, oh, wait.
Like, okay, whoa. I got this. Doran walks right. You know what? You guys stop me if you think I want to know what you're
going. No, do it.
Doran.
Yeah. This is canonical, starting now.
Doran walks up to the gate. And he nods at the guards as he walks in, and he goes, shift change.
One of them waves to you, Doran.
Hey, Doka.
Hey. Ugh, tired. Ugh. Mm.
And he walks in through the gates.
Are we near a gate? I guess we were near a gate. I didn't picture we were near a gate.
It's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Doran, now you are alone inside.
Level one success. He turns and walks up the stairs. He knows where the stairs are. Doran remembers the city, right?
Yeah.
So he walks up and he sees the guard that we've kind of all been talking about with the nose in the book, right? And he says,
yeah, you pass a couple guards on the way. Another one nods to you.
What did he say? My name was Doka? Doka? Dochev?
We're doomed.
It's like 2 seconds.
Doja Cat?
He says,
hey.
Thought you were stationed on the other side.
Yeah, I was, but then I saw you over here with your nose in the book. Listen.
On the other side of the city.
Boss says you gotta keep moving. The boss says you gotta keep moving along.
The boss says that?
Yeah. The real boss. The big boss.
And he points up to the Chancellor's house. Gautier.
Roll deception.
Yeah, the Chancellor's paying attention to you in particular.
Is that a charisma mm-hmm. roll? That's a charisma.
It certainly
roll.
Is. Yes.
The big boss is pointing to God.
Man, that's going to be...
The big boss.
I mean, should I roll my lucky?
You have advantage.
I love the idea that this guy's got his back to Doran and he's like clearly failing. And then Doran just watches an arrow sink into the guy's back. And he just like falls softly off the edge. And then he like zooms in and I'm like waving from the rocks.
You know what? And that's exactly it. Like don't do it. But Doran sees you. Down,
I'll definitely do it.
I have my
bow drawn. Mari and Jack are kneeling next to me. I'm like, and like, there's a little conversation between us. I'm like, I'm gonna do it. I'm like saying it to Jack. I'm just gonna take the shot.
Just give him a second.
And then do you see Doran's face? And he goes, No.
Give him a minute.
And he just shakes his head.
He's gonna fail. He's totally fucked up.
He shakes his head at you.
No.
We didn't even know this guy was on the outside of the wall. How did we miss that?
Intel was bad, maybe.
It's the bat vision. It's all wonky.
So it's an 11.
Are you going to beef your roll, Alex? Or are you going to leave it?
I'm going to do it. I'm going to leave it.
Let it ride?
Yeah.
With advantage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I rolled a 10 and a 12, and I have a negative 1.
Oh, so. Balls.
the arrow, like the bow is like taut. Yeah. It's like you can hear it creaking.
His hand is shaking right now.
Yeah.
The dwarven guard... He does that thing where he like keeps his place in the book with his finger and stands up to look at you. And he's like,
what don't you understand? Like, you're reading a book. You're not even paying attention.
Since when do you get to tell me what to do, Doka? I outrank you.
Since you were reading,
and Doran grabs the book from his hand and tosses it out of the city, like over the
wall. Hits Red in the head. And
so I want you to tell me specifically. What does he do when I do that?
He watches the book go.
So he turns his head. And this is when Doran pushes him right off the wall.
What?
It just gives him a good shove. Almost one of those, like, as he turns his head, Doran leans down, grabs his legs, and, like, does one of the... Huh! There's, like, no doubt. He's out.
Flips him over the wall.
And Doran knows he's got to go quick. It's got to be quick and
I think that
once.
Is...
There's no doubt.
Fuck it. This guy was rude. Off the wall with you.
I mean, for a warrior like Doran and a guard so unprepared, I think it's a negligible effort for you to absolutely tip him over this wall.
Okay. And Red runs to the base. He's like, oh, fuck, we're doing that? And Red, like, just starts running. Because I can go... In 6 seconds.
Yeah.
Because A, I don't want him to die. He was reading a fucking book. And B, when he hits, if he doesn't die, he's just going to go, ow, guards! Like, this is so poorly thought out.
I can't imagine. It's like we should have planned this.
The thing was, Red's like shot was ready, and like Doran like pushed him out of my shot, right? So I don't even have the shot anymore. I'm like, fuck! So Red throws his bow, and he just like uses his cat agility to run 70 feet to the bottom of the fucking wall.
To get underneath a man that's falling?
Listen, I can move 120 feet in 6 seconds.
Yeah, but you can't catch
that's
a guy.
Canon.
Don't make me do math.
He's going to fall a lot faster than 6 seconds.
How fast do you fall? It's
9.8 meters per second squared.
But I think D&D decided 500 feet in a round.
In a round?
Okay, so yeah, never mind then.
But I love the idea that he lands in an injured heap like like a half a second before Red gets there.
Oh god damn it.
check his pulse and like see if his neck's broken or something.
Oh, he's not unconscious.
No, Red just kicks his head.
Fuck. Oh no. Oh,
I have to make him unconscious now. You did this.
Well, unfortunately,
you did this.
Unfortunately, by power of improv, their uniform features a beret instead of a helmet. So
oh, perfect. Good, perfect.
That benefits my knee.
You kick him in the head.
Why is it wool?
So Red like runs up. This guy, vroom, right in front of him. He's like, ow! And I'm like, sorry, man. And I just knock him out with a kick to the head.
Non-lethally, we hope.
That's right.
Non-lethal is the point.
Great. Yeah.
Good. Very good. Very
and
good.
And Doran, love it. With eyebrows raised and kind of giving a shrug to you, turns his back to look.
Who are you shrugging at?
Absolutely as natural as possible.
Yeah, and Red whispers up to you and goes, "This is why we have plans."
Doran, like, whisper yells down, "I'm sorry. Okay. Just throw the rope."
Doran, you hear from farther down the wall,
"Something wrong over there?"
Oh, for fuck's sake, no. Red starts dragging the guy back.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like.
No, I lost my page.
Why? Yeah. Why now? You
and then no. He says, "I lost my page," and then the book just falls back. Like I threw it back up.
Yeah.
I lost my page, and the book just comes like falling back up from where Red threw it.
Both of you get inspiration. I love that so much. Harlan, Alex, you guys have inspiration. You.
This book just like falls at his feet. Good. I love that image. It's fine.
Thorin picks it up without hesitation as he hears the book land next to him, and picks it up and puts his face into it, like just as the other guard was.
Yeah.
Not a problem over here. Thought I heard something.
Excellent. All right. Red, Mari, Jack.
Well, Red stashes the body. I mean, Alistair, you don't look exactly the same. What are you doing?
He's trying to fart. What is this?
Trying to get big.
Oh. You don't have to throw a rope, by the way. I drop a rope down. I tie it and drop it.
I was going
to
say, I'm not going to throw a rope up 30 feet. You're going to drop a rope.
That you brought with you, definitely, because this was always the plan.
And Red takes the armor off the guard and nice. Puts it on Alistair. It's like, look, Alistair, if it buys us a second of belief, it's worth it. Might as well put one of us in actual garb.
Alistair does an experimental flourish with the cape. And then looks over at Mari from underneath the brim of the beret.
How do I look?
Weirdly fetching.
You know what? Don't answer that.
All right.
Let's go.
Why does the beret have a brim?
It's a really good beret.
That weird visor on the beret is so odd.
Dwarven berets dwarven are fashion. Built different. They're just different.
Dwarven, built different.
Built dwarven.
Beret.
And maybe as we're walking, Red's like asking Jack, he's like, I mean, why? Maybe they would have Duergar gods, right? I don't know. They're just not people.
Duergards? Am I right?
Who knows? I mean, it could be a lovely diverse city. I've never been to Scarborough. I don't know what kinds of dwarves live here. Doran's not the most forthcoming with information I would call accurate.
Yeah, but he sure knows how to improvise a plan.
He yes-anded.
The best part is he can haul me up the rope, and so we don't have to worry about me falling.
That's the best part. Yeah, good.
Golden line I found.
In the foreground of the shot, there's like a crumpled body of a dwarf in heart underpants and nothing else behind a rock outcropping. And like in the background, the characters are walking towards the wall and like assessing this fucking rope that Doran has dropped. Who's trying first?
I'll probably just climb without rope. I'll probably just scale.
Cool.
Because time is not our friend.
Yep.
I'll go next to leave Mari and our friend at the bottom together because...
Excellent.
Mm.
How dare you?
Then I'll go last to make sure everybody gets up before me, because I can pick the rope up if it falls or whatever.
Rope climbing not having been your favorite in half-elf gym class.
No.
And these dwarven walls being especially difficult to scale, you're going to have to make an athletics check.
Well, here was my thought. You loop the rope around your back, you give it a tie around your waist, you give it two tugs. Doran, the strong one, hauls the weight of Jack up because his lifting carrying is well more than me, hauls it up, drops the rope back down again.
It is going to create more of a spectacle on the top of the wall that Doran, dwarf, would be like...
Hold that in your back pocket.
Pulling...
Every once in a while, Jack can pull one out. Hold that in your back pocket. I got an 11 athletics. So what's that do for me?
An 11 with the aid of a rope to climb up a wall absolutely works.
Excellent. Yeah, I can rope.
It's not the fastest climbing job, but you manage.
Well, we knew that was going to be the case.
All right, Mari, want to roll an athletics check for us?
I see her struggling, and as Jack comes to the top of the wall, I like point down the stairs exactly the best place to go.
Ah.
Right down there, there's a building. Go stand. There's a couple barrels behind that building.
Okay.
Should be able to hide right there.
Yeah, I'll be right there. And I just take a quick scan over the books that this guy was reading.
You fuck.
Jesus Christ.
You can't read Dwarvish, unfortunately.
I know. I just wanted to know. Maybe there was a common.
And then Doran sees Mari struggling a bit.
She's struggling. She's got so much rope burn. It's not even funny. Her hands are raw at this point.
Alistair is already climbing up behind you, and he's actually got a good handle on this. He rolled an 18 on his athletics.
Oh, he's strong.
So, yeah. Mari, what'd you roll?
A 5.
Okay.
Not
oh,
good.
No.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
So
oh, God.
You make it about 2/3 of the way up this rope before your strength just fucking fails you.
Oh. Mari, now!
And you just, she just...
Red calls out from below.
Yeah, her hands are just so completely raw with rope burn that she just can't take another grip on the rope, and she just goes. And she barely even makes a sound, and she's falling.
And Alistair, all of a sudden red beside you, you just see him shift, and it's almost faster than you can even really comprehend what's going on. He unfortunately shreds through his new guard's clothes.
Oh no!
Damn it, they're not leather.
He turns into this massive, hulking, dark dwarf and reaches out and grabs Mari out of the air.
Mari!
Did I die? What is this?
What the hell? Doran's doing his best to keep composure.
Wait. Oh, okay.
Sorry, I just...
It's fine. Thank you.
Hold on.
And he just starts climbing up the rope with you like on his shoulder as a large creature now.
Doran suddenly hearing this like rope under huge tension is like creaking.
Oh, God.
I'm like, oh, gee, what the hell's going on? And he turns around to see giant Alistair carrying Mari up this rope.
He's got a comically small hat on his head.
With a visor and a beret.
The beret with
a brim.
And then very shortly after both of you are safe on this battlement, he whoop shrinks back down to normal size.
Oh, God, yes.
Thank goodness.
Huh.
Sorry, I didn't know what.
No, thank you.
Are you okay?
No, I'm good. Thank you. I guess that's
Doran interjects. Shut up. Go down there. Go down there.
All right.
you can't be talking up here.
Down at the bottom of the stairs behind one of these homes, as Doran pointed out, there are some barrels. Jack is crouching there with his loot, maybe 6 books that you swiped from the top of the pile.
I can see Jack going through it. Key. Not in the fucking book about key.
Sure.
Can you imagine?
And Alistair crouches down there behind some of the barrels and then looks over at you, Mari.
Come on, back here.
Yeah, okay. And she's crouches down back there. She's like, I guess the thing that makes you kind of get big, explode, whatever it is if you're panicking or if you're scared for somebody or if it's a fear-based thing. But also, thank you.
No problem. I just felt like my heart jump in my throat, and then almost like I couldn't breathe, and then just I don't want to.
Hey,
you heard it though.
Yeah, and I'm honestly very grateful for it, because definitely had a split second there where I thought I was gonna turn out like that other guy.
Hey, we're gonna get through this together.
Red probably wouldn't have kicked you in the head.
He just runs down there just to kick her in the face.
Sorry,
this is what we're doing, right?
It was a really cute line, and I stepped all over it, but I couldn't help myself.
And then Red, you're the last one up, right?
Yeah, I feel like Red just flips over the side, sort of taps Doran on the back, says, okay. Terrible improvisation, by the way. Terrible improvisation.
Yeah, sorry about that. I look, the others are down there.
Okay, fine. Red just slinks off, muttering to himself, I offered to shoot at the very beginning, and he said no, he didn't want to hurt it. Oh, hey, guys. Hey, good job, Alistair.
Thanks, Red. I try my best here to be part of the group.
Yeah, let's all remember that. Next time Alistair needs to grow big, just push Mari off something. All right. Doran! What?
So
I love the idea, like, later on, we're like, we need Alistair to get big, and Rich, like, pushes Mari. But it works. She's like, ah.
But he's not there, so she just falls to her death.
He's not there. It's like, sorry, I was in the bathroom. I got what happened? Mari's just on the ground.
That's good.
So Doran, like, looking around now that everybody's up, he grabs the rope and stuffs it back into his satchel, and then he's, like, looking around thinking to himself, I can't just leave. They're going to be like, where's that guard?
Doran has to do the rest of his shift, I guess.
He kind of walks up to the next closest guard. He says, hey, did you see where he's kind of hoping the name just comes to the...
She just looks at you.
Doran's plans always fall one step in.
I just open my mouth and hope a name is going to pop out. That's Doran's every
day. What's his name? I think we went for lunch together yesterday, and I think we both got the same food poisoning. Can you just keep an eye on things? I got to run. He ran too. I'll be back.
I want you to roll deception check.
Okay.
Dukeception.
Good thing he's got Eagle Splendor, though.
He's got the splendor going.
Yeah, you still got
unnecessarily complicated lies, right? Is Doran's deception. Brand.
14.
Yeah, the guard sort of looks you up and down, and he's like,
yeah, I mean, don't take too long.
No, I won't.
And Doran acts it up a little bit and holds his bottom as he's kind of running away. Gets to the bottom of the stairs.
Dwarves are weird.
No, Doran's weird.
That's why he had to leave.
Right. I think we're good for a little bit.
What did you do? Buy us, like, no extra time? What are you doing?
Let's just get moving, okay? Let's not stop and talk about it.
You know what? Whatever. Let's just keep going.
We gotta go get Doreen.
They're not even paying attention.
And Red casts Pass Without Trace. All right, let's go. And Red starts sneaking, leading the way. And then he stops and he goes, I have no idea where we're going, Doran.
Oh, I do. Don't worry.
Yeah, I think you gotta lead the way, bud.
Thank you to our wonderful patrons, Adam Fry, Afflicted Adina, Aizu Yukai, Allison Wright, Merlin, Anne, Atholagoth, Axel, Barry Jennett, Casey, Cecil Lee Wilson, Sherry Rose Anderson, Christopher, Colin Burkhart, Crow, Daniel, Dippity, Flynn, Gareth Bradshaw, Haley, Harper the Mox, JD, Joy Robinson, Julie Holderman, Jory, KR, KM, Cade, Lasagna, Last Ruth on the Left, Leader J, Liz, Lorelei Feldman, Amanda Pants, Merrick Smoon, Matilda Rushing, Melinda Curley, Moon, Oakland, Quill Bennett, Regan, Ren, Scotty, Shannon Waldner, S-Ray 96, Tegan, Tea Kettle, Tony Pepperoni, Trin, Waffle 427, Xander Morning Dove, Zach House, and Zephyrus. Thank you so much! Woo!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.